So maybe I'll just start by asking, why did you pick this particular one?
Well, I picked this text because I thought it was really important to kind of realize the kind of the sense of capitalism that occurred through art and the use of art as a form of dissent, and how art has always been used as a form of dissent against oppression and struggle. And that has been taken away through this idea of capitalizing art. And I really thought she spoke out to that, and that was, the key element of what she was trying to get at. I had worked in an art gallery for a while, and I left because I was so disheartened with the fact that these artists couldn't do really what they wanted to do. They had to do what they were stuck in, because that's what sold, and that's what, brought in the very little money that they were actually getting for their art, and it was just repulsive to me.
Okay, you could argue that on one hand, art's been always been a form of resistance. On the other hand, you could also say that it's kind of been implicated in capitalism for a really long time. You know what I mean? Or sometimes I think that it's like that somehow art's become more implicated in capitalism. That it's become kind of more of an industry than it was, say, like in 1969.
I do agree with you. I don't think that they are completely separate. I think what I felt, what I got out of this, was the idea that there's art and then like there's marketing. I really think that art came out of, a place that's completely separate from mocked up creation that we call capitalism in a sense. It's not a social system. It's something that comes out of us from our hearts and from what we feel and how we are. Putting art in museums and, buying art, and it really is only the rich that can buy art, and so artists are going to start, or they already have, and I'm sure it's multiplied from the 60s to now, as what they're creating to sell, just like anything else, and it's an industry like anything else, and it's kind of repulsive. And you might see some real genuine art coming from students before they get jaded when they go out into the real world and try to be like actually make money with their art. Other than that, I think that it's just been taken over and consumed by industry like everything else has. Kind of like the spectacle, you just have to feed into this being, this beast that exists out there to make it.
One thing I kept thinking about that has changed for me was that, I mean, I wonder because I wasn't around in 1969, but I wonder if there was more of a sense that art itself was something special, that art itself could be a resistance. And now, there's this sense that it's kind of become this industry like everything else, right? Maybe in the past it wasn't really part of the economy, or it wasn't economically profitable in the same way that it is now.
This is a little digression, but it made me think of what you said, made me think of it, is when I was working at the art gallery, there was a show that was up, and it was these beautiful paintings, very realistic. The whole show sold out. The next show that came up was this very, like, intense, I wish I knew the artist's name, but it was this really intense statement on society and violence. And he used, like, old school cartoon characters, like kind of Mickey Mouse type black and white, and put them in situations like suicide bombers or Tupac shooting, and none of it sold because people don't want that in their homes. They don't want to be reminded of it. But I think that that is, he's using his art to create resistance and knowledge and awareness and understanding. And I think more artists would do that if they were able to, if they could make a living off of it. But if you're in some slave labor job, 9 to 5, you're exhausted and you don't have a desire to do anything. Like it really stuck out to me because I really feel like art should be used, as a political activist. I think it should be used to promote information that people aren't getting through the regular media. There's numerous examples of that that just aren't being seen around, like Banksy's work. Like, luckily, his work has gotten out and people have gotten seen what he's doing, but I think that's great. He's showing what's wrong and what's going on in the world, and some of it's funny, but it's not funny.
I mean, the kind of language that she was using, right? It's very easy to kind of make this dismissal and say that, they were so naive in 1969, and now we all know better. We're not going to call for such grand things as basically revolution. We could also say that now we want to make claims that are more
I
realistic.
think that it's funny because as I was reading it, I'm like, she talks about how she works up the audience like you would do in a speech. And I could imagine hearing the speech today. And she says that there's a problem. And she says that we must collectively come together. She says that separatism is not the solution. Well, how many times have we heard the speech? The same concepts over and over again, but nobody's giving us solutions. Nobody's giving us anything that's not actually going to work. But people go out there and protest. Well, she's saying that protesting is not enough, And I think today, protesting may have helped in the 60s. You know, Martin Luther King's protests were very successful in overcoming the odds. But today, that's old. What once worked doesn't work anymore. We need to tap into the technology that we have now. And I think she's kind of saying something similar in that, like, this protesting isn't enough. We got to do something else. And we really have to take this back. And we have to work collectively. But she doesn't offer a solution for it. What I found peculiar was she said, and I may have totally read this wrong, but she says revolution, dissent, secession, civilian war is not the solution. But the previous line of that said generations go by with only a murmur of reform. I think revolution and dissent is the solution. And I unfortunately think that at some point there's going to be another civil war between the haves and the have-nots. Unfortunately, that's definitely not what I would like to see, but it may be the only way that industrialization and capitalism will collapse. And even in the last 5 years, the middle class is starting to deteriorate. You know, like, it doesn't really exist as much anymore. And not to say that things were better necessarily in 69. There's still a lot of poverty. There's still a lot of racism. I mean, there's still a lot of racism today. But it's a really difficult place. And I feel like, again, coming back to this, separatism is not the solution. I think the idea of separatism has gotten worse. And she's tapping into this idea of individualism and how we have just gone more inward and not talked to our community. Everybody walks around with their iPods in. So I go out to, like, the park to go for a walk, and everybody is listening to their iPods. You couldn't strike up a conversation with a stranger if you tried. And this idea of bunkerism, how we all have our stereos and our TVs and our, you know, everything in our home, so we never need to leave and we never need to engage with the community, even to the point where you don't even engage with your families anymore. And she's trying to say that art can be used as catalyst for a solution.